family squabbles they've had for years. I pray that you would bring it all to an end as they all surrender their hearts to Jesus Christ. I pray for the folks that are living in that place that they will remember that it was designated to be a church. It was set apart for you. And so I pray that your Spirit would touch their hearts. And for these folks that came today, Lord, I have no ill feelings toward them. I wish they would come earlier and join us for church. And Lord, that is what will help transform our hearts as you transform us. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us not to have all of our commitment just to people, but we need to make our main commitment to God. And as we commit to you, you'll lead us, you'll bless us, and you'll teach us what real right is. And so, Lord, help us to see that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue on with this idea, so now we get to verse 15. I also have sent the servants of prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. So let me ask you something. In reading that, does it offend God for us to worship other gods? Absolutely. Did it offend God in this day that they were worshiping other gods? Absolutely. Did he offer them to repent? Absolutely. Well, what's going to happen to them because they wouldn't repent? Their society is going to be absolutely destroyed. Now, he's going to save some people out of that. Praise God. He's a merciful God. But he's going to destroy their society over it. He's going to start all over again. He's pushing a reset button. So today, do you think it still upsets God for us to worship other gods? Absolutely. Some of those other gods they're not like these man-made idols, but they're man-made systems. They're man-made ideas. They're ideas of, you know, that, hey, you can have your truth and I'll have mine, and we'll all just kind of do our thing together, and we'll just act like that this really isn't in conflict with one another. None of us want to be divisive, but we've got to stand with God, and that is, for people who will not follow God, it's going to be divisive to them. It isn't our wish, but it just will. And so he tells them, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings. He's calling them to repent. That's what repentance looks like. And do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. And he's comparing them to the rest of Jerusalem. You see, they decided, we can't do what the rest of Jerusalem's doing. So we're going to have to get out of Dodge, and we're going to have to find a way that we can keep ourselves morally pure. Can anybody tell me what in the book of James it says is good and perfect religion in God's eyes? You don't have to quote it perfectly, but what's the basic idea? And to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And that's what the Rechabites were trying to do. And I believe it's the call for the church today. Now, I don't believe we should go isolate ourselves in a cave. If we do, we can't affect anybody. We got to be stronger than that. Be nice if we could just remove all the temptations, right? If we could just remove all the temptations. There was never a temptation before me, just like these guys never had wine before them. There was never a temptation. They just decided, we're not even going to plant vineyards or anything. Now these bowls of wine are set before them, and they're said, go ahead, drink it. Man, putting temptation right before them, right? And they're like, We made up our minds a long time ago. We were going to honor what our Father asked us to do because we believed that he was teaching us what was right. We're not going to do it. In the same way, how about all the things God's taught us not to do? He told us is wrong. We've got to be able to say, even when it's right there before us, I'm sorry, and I don't want to just offend you, but that's wrong, and I can't do that. I just really cannot do that. And if we would do that, God wouldn't destroy the society. I really believe it. And I believe even for a small number of people that will really continue to do that, to create this atmosphere where God can freely move, I think it's very important that we continue to pray for that. He goes on and says in verse 17, therefore, thus says the Lord, God of hosts, and God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he has commanded, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. And that is a good word right there. Oh, that he would say that about the Jones family and the Bischoff family, and every one of our families that are truly Christians that walk with the Lord, right? The Harris family, continue down the line of all the people that are in our local church and all the people that we know of that are serving the Lord. That God, yeah, here's the thing that gets me as well. God notices everything. So you got all this lascivious living going on over here, and it's making God sick, and he's absolutely had it with it, and he's done warned him 1,000 times, and they've killed his prophets, and they've told him no, and everything else, and he's saying, I'm bringing judgment on him. And yet he notices this one little family. And he says, Jeremiah, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go get that family and bring them in here. You just go right ahead and put that wine in front of them, because God knew they're not going to drink it. They are committed to following me. So much so that when their dad, who followed me, said, do this, they did it, and they continued to do it. They're a good example. This is what I want you to look like. I want you to be that committed to me. And if only they would, I wouldn't destroy. What does the Lord of hosts mean? Can anybody tell me what that means? That, you know, we hear that over and over and over again. Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts. We know what Lord means, right? But what's Lord of hosts mean? What's the hosts? He's the commander of multitudes, the commander of angel armies. I mean, literally, the armies of heaven are at his disposal. So whenever God says something, he most definitely has the power to back it up. He's got the power to do it. When he says, if you keep doing that and you don't repent, I am going to destroy everything that you know of.
One angel took all the firstborn in Egypt in one night. Imagine what multitudes.
It's an amazing thought. I'm telling you, it's power like we've never imagined. It's power like we've never imagined. I used to get a little frustrated whenever I hear people say, well, now that we got atomic weapons, God really could destroy the earth. And I want to say, God don't need atomic weapons. Get off of that. I mean, like, God made it. He can remake it anytime he wants. He can cleanse it. Just his burning eyes of fire, right? You look at it in Revelation. What's that represent? Just look at something, purifies it, judges it down to its very core. That's the kind of God we serve. Whenever he's saying Lord of hosts, he's saying this is the Lord that's got the power to do it. And if he wants to protect you, Rechabites, and have one to stand before him forever, maybe that's one of those 24 elders. I don't know. But what I know is if God chooses to do that, he can do it. There's nothing that causes God to have to change his plan. You know, the only thing I think persuades him is prayers. He don't change, you know, the ultimate will, but he does hear the cries of his people and he does respond. Because we see it over and over and over again in the Bible. Why did it take him, you know, over 1,000 years to finally bring judgment on him? I think because of the prayers of the people who truly believed. Why is America still holding together? Maybe starting to make a turnaround? The prayers of his people. His patience, his long-suffering, his love, his commitment, his mercy. But I'm telling you, it's motivated by the prayers of his people. Keep praying. Oh, that God would turn us around. Show us the evil of our ways in such a way there'd be no denying it. Not everybody's going to agree. Get used to it. You know? We got this one guy in the family. Well, he's kind of out of the family now because his wife, they recently got divorced, unfortunately. But he... I don't know, anybody sees our post pro-life stuff on Facebook, but he just keeps putting obnoxious emojis on everything we post that's pro-life. It's like if you say something about how horrible this procedure is, he'll put a heart on there saying he loves it. Like partial birth abortion. He put a heart on there for partial birth abortion. I mean, seriously? You know? And if you see anything like where Christians have been denied access to something or whatever, you know, puts a heart on that. And we put something on there about the 18 football players that got baptized out in front of everybody on the football field down in one of the southern states. And I mean, I'm like, yeah. He laughed. He put a laugh emoji on that. You know, we got it. The guy don't agree with us, okay? We figured that out. I don't go on his and put all that, you know, stupid stuff on his, whatever. But you know, they talk about tolerance. They are so intolerant. Get used to it. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It'll be all right. You know what? We're not going to stop putting the stuff on our Facebook. He isn't going to stop us. We're going to keep doing it. And it really bugs him, obviously, because like everything he does it to. He's like our internet bully, I guess you might say. I'm praying it'll change his heart. He'll see how wicked he is being. I mean, whenever you're putting hearts on there for things that are just so monstrous, you got to look at yourself one day and say, how did I get to this point? You know, that's what I'm praying, that God would just convict him. But we know, you know, there's prisons full of people that made really bad choices. A few of them have repented, but the vast majority of them haven't. They would continue to do it if you let them out and gave them a chance. But you see, that don't mean we're wrong. Even if the majority of people feel that way, God's word is still right. Even though these wonderful Rechabites were like the only ones, pretty much as a group, keeping themselves pure, they were still doing the right thing. And you know what? God noticed. I love that part. He noticed. He sought them out. He said, go find these guys. Bring them in. I want to teach you something through these faithful souls. Beautiful picture. I love that story. Anybody have any thoughts on it? Jelly? Yeah. Isn't it interesting, that commitment and that role of that father was huge, wasn't it? Commitment to purity and the role of the father and for future generations still follow it. Shelley? I know, it's incredible. It really is a beautiful story, a beautiful picture. So, you know, God takes notice. God notices. I love that thought. In fact, I was just thinking about how did Job start out, the whole book of Job and his whole story in that book. It was like, consider my servant Job. God took notice. God takes notice. The devil takes notice too, you know. And he's displeased at the things that God's pleased about. So whenever you feel the resistance of the devil, let it bring you a little bit of pleasure, because it means you're on the right track. So let's keep up the good work. Continue to believe. Continue to have faith. Continue to pray. Continue to fight the good fight. The fight of faith. Anybody have any other thoughts? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was a political science major for 2 years.
What a tough place that would be, you know? Really be tough to try to bring about the things of Christ in such a wicked environment. But continue to pray for all of our states that are making a lot of hard decisions right now, including Missouri. You know, if you take St. Louis and Kansas City, the liberal areas, they got a lot of people complaining, and those folks up at Jeff City have to listen to that. So just continue to remember that. And sometimes I wish I could just pack up a tent and go live somewhere and forget about all of it. But I don't think that's what we're called to do in this day and age. We take Jesus with us everywhere we go, right? And we live it 24/7. That's the reason why they keep trying to change the wording freedom of religion. See, freedom of religion means that's what I am. That's who I am. That's what, you know, that's what I do. my whole life. I follow that to freedom of worship. That's what I do on Sunday. You know, that's what they want to turn it into. Of course, people that are really Christians, we worship all the time. You know, we worship in our homes or whatever. But they're trying to change that terminology because they want you to keep it in the church. But we can't. We got to live it 24/7, right? And we need to do it with love. We need to do it in an inviting way, right? I want people to look at your all's families and say, man, I see something awesome in that family. I want that. Because as time changes, times change for people and things get different in our country. There's going to be people looking for more hope. A lot of people that are feeling pretty hopeless right now. You know what the theme of our camp is next week? Or I guess this week now, starting tomorrow, is Seek Him, Find Hope. That's a good theme. Seek God, find hope. And that's what people need. That's what they're really needing is some hope right now. So let's have a word of prayer and we're going to close. Dear Father, I want to thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for helping us to look at your word, Lord. Thank you for recognizing, noticing, so to speak, the Rechabites and their commitment. Lord, for seeing that even though it came from one of their forefathers, it was really directed towards you. And they were wanting to keep themselves in a good way with you. And so, Lord, they were willing to give up even their places to live and livelihood to follow you. And so, Lord, help us to do the same. We're just pilgrims in this land. We're just passing through. Help us, Lord, keep our eyes on Jesus, to want to please the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, I pray. Bless these wonderful folks that have come here to worship tonight, our church family. Help them to go out from here feeling encouraged that you notice their desire to please you. And you're going to strengthen them. May it be said of us that there will always be our families that stand before you forever. Lord, help us to desire that. Help us to live for that. Help that to be our main thing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. I'll make some copies of this real quick. This director mission survey, and if anybody wants one, they can take one.